Hey guys, welcome back to Talk to NST. Happy New Year. I hope you guys had a fantastic holiday and Christmas break and pre-season training. The 2021 season has begun and this podcast is going to be catching you guys up with what has happened, what the schedule is looking like for the first quarter of this year. You know, the past results, the Australian Open, quarantine, all that business. We're going to get right into the nitty gritty. So grab your cuppas, grab a snack, and let's get into the tea. So, as we know, there has been a rejig of the tournaments due to COVID. Most of the tournaments have been rearranged. So we started off the preseason with the ATP and the WTA giving us the first quarter schedule, which is already out. I'm sure you guys have seen it all now. I'm not going to bore you with talking about it. But they start off in Dubai and they've got the Delray Open in America and the Abu Dhabi situation. Then the qualifying for the Australian Open is in Dubai where everyone would be. So it makes so much easier for them, and that's how they went on with the show. The WTA also rebranded with a new logo, new website, and new apps in the work, which is super exciting because, as we all know, sadly, our favorite tennis scoring app was removed, and there are a few good ones out there, and I've posted and other people have shared what they're using, so I'm sure you guys are all up to date with new apps and ways to figure out, but the Flash Score app that we used before is now gone. Unfortunately, end of an era, but the WTA did say that they're bringing an app somewhat soon, so that will be interesting to see. So just a quick rundown of what happened pre-Australian Open. Dubai women's tournament was won by Sabalenka. Atlantia was won by Hudzurk. Delray Beach was Alex Demonor. Yeah, the only drama that happened in those weeks was Christian Harrison was just being a trash person. We are in the middle of a pandemic, a panoramic, just a whole situation. And there are still some tennis players who still do not believe that it is happening. Christian Harrison, being one of them, refused to wear a mask for an on-court interview, got penalized, got fined, and then he went onto Instagram the next day and posted something complaining about it, the whole situation. Christian, if you're listening, I doubt you are, but we're in the middle of a pandemic. Everyone is wearing masks, not because we want to, but we are keeping each other safe. And as we all know, America is doing quite badly. There are mutant strains of this virus, and I hate to down the mood of the podcast, but I just don't understand why some tennis players aren't getting it. He's not the only one. There are a few other people complaining about this whole situation, but it's really upsetting to see this. And as you all know, last year I took a break from podcasting and posting and everything because I just fell out of love with the sport, because it was really hard to see these people that you look up to just being trash human beings. So hopefully these guys really pull it together. But anyway, back to the happiness. So after Dubai, Atlantia and Delray Beach, everyone moved on to the Australian Open qualifying. Yeah, it was pretty good. Most of the favorites went through. However, at the end of it, we started getting people testing COVID positive. So Andy Murray tested positive. He can't compete. He's not in Australia. Madison Keys couldn't compete. And then we have our resident man of scandal, Tenny Sandegren, who tested positive, but it was a weak positive. He had COVID a few weeks earlier, and he was quite sick, but he said he had recovered. He tested positive once again, and that was a weak positive, so he was non-contagious. However, the rules that the Australian government and Tennis Australia had put in place for people coming into the country to play the Australian Open were that if you test positive, you can be positive contagious and positive non-contagious. If you were non-contagious, then you were allowed to come through and you can compete. So it was, Tenny's went on to post about the whole situation, being like, I tested positive and I'm coming to Australia, blah, 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 blah. And that kind of stirred a bit of uproar because we were like, if you're positive, why are you able to come? Like, I thought the rules were no, like a negative test upon entry to be able to enter. But obviously the rules have been tweaked a little bit. And obviously that's fine. If you're not contagious, that's good for everyone and you get tested regularly throughout the quarantine process. But it was the way he said it was gaslighting the fans and making light of a very situation, because Victoria last year went into lockdown for several months and it was not fun on those people. So no one wants to repeat that. You know, so again, with the tennis players, just think a little bit more. They're not thinking a lot. Back to a down note, obviously we know Sloane Stephens has had a tough go of it. She's lost family members to the pandemic and it's really upsetting to see that. So, you know, Sloane, we are with you. We wish you all the best over here and we just hope you do well. Sloane is one of my favourites and I hope she does well in Australian Open. She is a Grand Slam champion. She goes far, but these new girls, Bianca Andreescu is back, Naomi Osaka, Keenan, Coco Gauff. There are so many new girls that are up there and they are just killing it in the game. So I hopefully she gets far in the draw and she can just do something. Moving on to the quarantine situation. Quarantine is over. As I'm recording this, quarantine is over. And it was a whole drama for the players. I wish we had more players who vlogged. Instagram was lit for those 15 days for those who were on hard lockdown. It was lit. There was a lot of complaining. There was a lot of food snaps. There was a lot of impromptu tennis, makeshift tennis courts in their rooms. It was interesting. It was great. It was fun to see. Obviously, everyone was keeping sane. There was talks of people who were, of players' mental health, which was kind of concerning. But as we know, anyone who goes through the hotel quarantine isolation, it is hard. 14 days by yourself. And some players, if they had their partner in the room, that was lucky. If not, maybe a coach in the next room over and they could open the door or that situation. But it wasn't easy for most people and it shows. Yeah, and then we can't talk about quarantine without talking about Melbourne versus Adelaide. Adelaide was where apparently the top players were being held. So Serena Williams, Djokovic, Rafael Nadal, Dennis, Novak, Dominic Thiem, Andrei Rublev, Filip Kovalevic, a few players there, Venus Williams of the sort. Not all of them were top players, but most of them, Naomi Osaka was also there. Most of them were playing the exhibition match a day in the drive in Adelaide at the Adelaide tennis courts. So it was kind of like they had special treatment. They had very nice flashy apartments. Most of their team members, in fact all of their team members, were there. They had pretty much everything. They trained pretty much every day and all that. Whereas in Melbourne there were two groups. There was the 14-day group, which was everyone who did not come on a plane with the positive cases, and then there was the people who were on the plane or near the plane or close contacts with the positive case people. And that stirred some roar. As we know, they couldn't train for the days. They got bikes and everything like that later on, but it was so difficult for them to actually compete. And that's when we started seeing people putting mattresses on walls, hitting tennis balls into that. It was a lot. So there was some backlash from the Tennis Australia about favoritism. A lot of players were talking about it, but to be fair, it's not their fault. They agreed to play this exhibition and they were put in this separate place. I'm not saying that everyone should have agreed to play the exhibition. Obviously not, you know, you need big names so that people come. However, it's not like they didn't do a bad job of it. The situation was what it was, and they tried their best. You can't please everybody, and that's what they had to do. However, Djokovic still, he tried to help. He tried to be the good Samaritan and tried to get people what they needed. He got backlash for it. He sent out an open letter of suggestions to the government asking for better food for the players, that they could practice or be moved into accommodation with private tennis courts, see their coaches, meet their physios, all like a whole list of stuff. I'm sure everyone's read it. And it was just funny. Like when I found out what he'd done that day, I was like, wow. Wow. It was shocking. But he was trying to help. Like I get it. He was trying to help. He's trying to be like the ATP council person, even though I don't know if he's still part of the ATP council / the PPTA, whatever council he's in now, whatever it is. He was trying to help. But, you know, it was a thing, but at least it's over for them now. We will see if it actually made a difference, if anything helped, if it didn't help. We will see how it goes. In other news, we had Zverev putting out a public statement about his management team and how he will no longer be managed by Team 8. He's going back to being family affair managed. So Misha and Sergey Bobulka will be his managers, and this has come after he had a 2-year legal battle with his former agent or whatever, after they won that court case in London. And it seems all a little bit skeptical and dodge how this is all happening around a time where he's been alleged of domestic violence. Nothing has come up on that allegation. He hasn't sued Olya. He hasn't, you know, she hasn't pressed charges. The ATP has done nothing. His other sponsorships have done nothing. Teammate is the only one who have let him go so far that we know of, which is interesting because we've seen players be dropped for doing hard drugs. We've seen players being suspended over throwing rackets, hitting people in the face. You know, we've seen a lot, but I think, if anything, the ATP needs to really pull it together on this one. And the fact that it came out in one of Olya's interviews that the abuse, alleged abuse, occurred in the at an ATP tournament. One of them happened at an ATP tournament and the other one at, like, was it the Laver Cup? And you guys might be saying, oh, you're saying alleged, you don't believe it happens. I am protecting myself. I do not want to be sued by this Zverev camp. So allegedly is how I'm going to take it. We don't want a lawsuit on our hands here at Talk Tennis Tea. However, you know, either way, I think it needs to be sorted. And it's not looking like a good look for him. He's going to be a dad in very, like, middle of the year, at least. He's going to be a father. So he needs to sort his shit out. And that's all I'm saying on Zverev. It was hard to read all of this stuff, and I don't think he's coping with it. But we will see in his tennis. As we all know, last year he had a major tantrum during the ATP Cup, and I am watching the ATP Cup with my eagle hawk eyes to see if more tantrums will occur. So it'll be interesting. To end off the podcast, I just have a funny, we all saw the dramatics of Bernard Tomic's girlfriend, Vanessa Sierra. She featured on Australian Love Island. Her and him, they started dating whenever they started dating, and it was alleged in the end of last year that they had an OnlyFans, and as we all know what OnlyFans is about, they were, you know, making some extra bank. So I didn't realize it was that serious that she was traveling with him across the globe. So she vlogs. She's a vlogger on YouTube. She posted a video of the quarantine conditions, talking about the food, as we all know. And then she started talking about her, like, their relationship. And that was just weird. Like, if anything, how she doesn't wash her hair, like, how 14 days is going to be a struggle. And it was just like, these are first world problems. People are dying and you're worried about someone washing your hair. Like, if anything, Bernard needs to wash your hair for you. Like, please, sis, pull it together. So it was all documented on her YouTube channel. Stefanos Tsitsipas, as a resident vlogger as well, he also put up a few vlogs during quarantine, which were quite interesting as well. So it was we were all very kept entertained. So this week is the start of the ATP Cup, ATP 250 and the WTA 500 in preparation for Melbourne Australian Open next week. It's going to be super exciting, super fun, and I am excited to see what happens. It's been a long time coming. Tennis hasn't been back in a while, and this is going to be great. So I hope everyone's watching. I hope everyone enjoyed this podcast. Thank you, and I will catch you on the next one. We'll be right back.